everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got an awesome, awesome show for you guys. We're doing this via Zoom. I have my awesome co-host here. How are you doing, Paul Presenza?
How's it going? My name is Paul A. Presenza, otherwise known as the Moo Cow Moo. And we got the Zoomies because we have a special guest with us tonight. And who is it?
Who is it?
Jackie Hall.
Yay.
I love how you say it differently every time. You know,
I'm not like a professional like wrestler, but I like have like a theme.
You don't have a theme song to yourself?
Yet. Yet.
Uh-huh. We'll you work should.
On that. I probably should. That should be a warning.
Well, like people know to get out of the way. Jackie Hall is coming.
Yep.
Remember, I made up that little song about Snow Shark. I can make up a Jackie Hall jingle too.
Do it.
All right.
Do it.
Well, today we're going to be talking about the 2013 film Disaster Wars, Earthquake versus Tsunami. So I am really excited about this. We're gonna have some fun with this one. I've seen it before, and oh boy. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Joe Estevez, baby.
Yes, and Sean C. Phillips and a bunch of other people. So
my dog's already crying.
Your dog's already crying. Oh, well,
yeah, because of this horrible movie that's about to come on.
They say dogs can sense disasters before they happen.
Well, this is proof.
There you go. Disasters. They're perfect. But before we get into all that, prepare for a little
music. We got to talk for it. We got to talk for an hour on this thing.
And we are back. Lord, an hour.
Oh, my God.
Whew. Let's see how we do's. Anyway, hello, everybody. We're back. We just finished watching Disaster Wars. Earthquake
it was a disaster, all right.
Versus Tsunami, which... it didn't make any sense when I first heard the title anyway, you know, like I thought they would battle each other, you know, like when you say versus on a thing.
They kind of do, but it's not until the last 45 seconds of the film.
But it's not. What?
What are you talking about? They battle each other.
They don't really battle each other.
That's when the guy sets off the nuclear device and it sets off a chain reaction to supposedly cause an earthquake, which supposedly causes the holes to open up in the ground, which is where the tsunami runs into. That's it. That's the whole movie. That's the whole movie.
We got that is
I didn't even get that at the end.
That 45 second shot was basically the entire film, and the rest of the hour and a half was just worthless.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the hour and a half, because that's what we ended up having to watch. It's pretty much the whole fucking movie. So this was directed by David Palmieri, and David is known for a lot of B movies. A lot of them. And even Paul says he's got a few on his list for later. And some he wants to get his grubby little moo paws on.
What little moo paws?
It's grubby.
Oh, grubby.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee you those are going to be more entertaining than this one. He didn't write this one. I can't fault him for that.
Yeah, you're right.
I wonder if he got paid to direct this, because I wouldn't have even directed it if I wasn't being paid. There was really nothing to direct.
Well, so he started off working for David Sterling back in the day.
Hmm.
Doing movies like Axe Grinder and Dark World. Can you hear me?
Oh my God. Dark World? Yeah. Really?
No, Dark World.
Oh, Dark World. Yeah.
No, he didn't work on Dark World.
That was his first movie, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ted Chalmers, who produced the movie of this one, also produced Dark World.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've been looking for a copy of Dark World for a while, and I can't get it.
Yeah, I don't know where we can get that either, but we'll find it someday. It'll show up, you know, as they often do.
That, yeah, several movies of his I've been trying to get. Dark World, and I've been trying to get Arise, the Revenge of the Snake Woman.
Also, he did a movie called Captain Battle, Legacy War. And he did a lot of movies for David Sterling, including The Witchcraft 14, 15, and 16, back to back. So he did Witchcraft, which was a series of films, but he did the like
30 of them.
He did like 14, 15, and 16 of it.
There was over 16.
There's more than that.
No, I think there's only 16 right now. As really? Of now. Yeah.
How long are they? 30 minutes or full movie?
They're a full movie.
Oh,
full
my movies. Gosh. Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah. And they started back in, what, the 90s or something, or and early 2000s.
He must know a lot of hot chicks because he populates his movies with all kinds of hot chicks.
We were saying that he must have gone to, like, the stripper, you know, yep. like the strip club.
He just went to a strip club.
Yeah.
It's easy to go to a strip club and be like, yo, I'm a director. You want to be in my movie?
Walked in with a bunch of singles and saying, follow the money, girls.
You sound like Donald Farmer when you say that. Is that what Donald Farmer usually does?
Donald, I don't know what all that man does. I love him, but there's just things I don't need to know.
Nowadays, okay. You can just go on OnlyFans and find people, you know, or sure. whatever, you know.
I've never been on that thing, so I don't know. But yeah, okay. Probably.
So it starts off, the movie starts off with Reggie Bannister, which was nice to see him in the movie, but you were making fun of his little ponytail he had, Paul. You were
He had no hair.
I know. He has aged out of the ponytail. I'm sorry, Reggie. Okay,
well, the ponytail is the only way he can wear that hair, because if he were to wear it down, it would just look like he had long hair below his ears and it wouldn't look right. So no, it
would not.
No. Keep rocking the ponytail. I agree with the ponytail.
I don't know. You look kind of cool.
I mean, at this point,
he could get away with completely shaving his head.
Exactly. Shave.
He could.
Just shave the head.
He would look fine bald.
Be a man.
I do have to say, though, that ponytail did give off a little bit of like a sci-fi like vibe. So whatever.
It's probably what they were going with.
Yeah.
So he's with his daughter, I guess. That was the character was his daughter. I think he said something.
The 15-year-old. Yeah,
it beat anyone.
And then two people with glasses, like a female and a male. With glasses.
So, nerd number one and nerd at number two.
Yeah, pretty much. And they're just doing something. And thank you, Zeke. But they're doing something. We don't even know really what they're doing, like some kind of experiment.
Apparently they work for the John Stamos wannabe, and their experiment caused the tsunami, because that remember that little bitty light thing that went off? That apparently caused a giant tsunami, which is ridiculous. The whole movie's ridiculous.
And then they're in a submarine, right? And it sinks?
They're in a cartoon submarine.
Yeah, those look like those were like CGI built sets.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, with the little tinkering things on it, you know, you could read what they were saying or whatever. It just looked like just random numbers, you know, and stuff.
And apparently it was attached to a steel cable, and when it went down, they, for whatever reason, the ship couldn't just pull them back up
topside,
so they imploded, quote unquote.
Isn't that who they kept talking to?
Topside. Yeah, because he kept going, call topside
guy on there. Some guy on a walkie-talkie who's out there, you know, fishing.
The cable, was it not connected to his boat? Like, he was supposed to pull them up, right?
Yes, he was.
But he didn't.
No.
They went bye-bye. And I don't know what happened to Topside.
Topside, you had one job. and you couldn't even do that.
He failed.
That guy just was like looking like he was like a lifeguard or something. He didn't even look like he was anything to do with the experiment.
No. He just looked like a normal person.
He looked like a security guard.
A fisherman or something.
You know, and it was just like, I'm the one who's going to be bringing you up and down and doing all this stuff. And he just didn't bring them up when the one time they needed to
come
up.
He looked more like a fisherman to me because he didn't have a outfit on.
Yeah.
It was pretty pathetic. So anyway, they caused the tsunami that happens. And then all of a sudden the military is called in to like destroy it, you know, which is every asylum movie now, you know, anyway. So
was this an asylum movie?
I was going to say, no, not even an asylum would sink this low.
No pun intended with the submarine.
This low. Hello.
We all live in a boring submarine.
Pretty much. So anyway, apparently, like, you know, the military is called in. So we meet a whole bunch of different random people. Some people that have a point and some people that I don't think have a point.
Nope. Or what, like, within like what, like 15 minutes, we were introduced to like four different households of people that we still don't know what they were doing.
Mostly hot chicks wearing very tight, revealing clothing.
Yep.
Or bikinis,
yep.
Yeah.
The bikini chick with the, I guess the guy that runs the technology thing that he does. None of us know. The John Stamos guy.
The guy that Jackie couldn't understand. I couldn't understand. Five words. A very thick accent.
He definitely needed subtitles, but you know they didn't give him any.
I don't even think subtitles would have figured that out.
Like, what? I can't tell what he's saying. Okay,
my name is Omar. Please send me home. He needed one of those little things you wear in your shirt.
Green card.
Anyway, so to go back, like there was some other characters. There was a let's see, because I have it all up here on the thing.
Joe Estevez as a colonel something or other, right?
Yep.
Priscilla Barnes playing the vice president, who just sat there with a grimace on her face the whole time, and then she got up and left her purse and had to come back for it.
Okay, so Joe Estevez plays Colonel Brayman. Priscilla Barnes plays Vice President Taylor. This is weird. So Reggie Bannister played a Dr. Jeff Taylor. Are they related? No, or is it just like they just couldn't think of another freaking last name?
I don't know. I don't think it mattered.
There's no way
it doesn't matter to the plot. Story.
Yeah,
well, okay. There is no plot. There is no story to this story.
Pete Panito played
except the ravenous homeless people who kept going after the hot chicks.
Yeah. The same hot chick, by the way. she's just a homeless magnet. Was it Pete Panito played Dr. Ivan Vickers, which was the doctor who in the robe, you know, the whole time or whatever.
Oh God, the guy in the purple robe. They couldn't just give him a shirt.
No, yeah, and like I bet he he asked that, you know. I bet he was like, my character needs to be in a robe.
See, it's so stupid because, you know, the entire point of him being in a bathrobe and not having quote unquote the time to change, but yet it took an hour and a half for the goddamn tsunami to finally hit.
It never actually hit.
So you're telling me you couldn't have put pants on? Really?
Nope.
It's ridiculous.
Then Michael Harris.
He probably wasn't paid. And he's like, if I'm going to show up to set, I just want to be in something I can roll out of bed in.
All right. I'll go with that one too. Michael Harris, who was in the movie I was in for the Asylum, Collision Earth.
So that was Gunnery Sergeant.
He was Gunnery Sergeant Wright, played by Michael Harris. Then there was Kelly Aaron Decker played Tony Sims, and I'm trying to remember. I guess that's the not Colonel, but what was she? She was a.
She was a corporal. If you're talking corporal. About the chick in the cutoffs
and the black white theater.
I think that's what she. That's who she was. Then what is it? Laura Esposito played Victoria Wright, and she was the woman that stopped the what is it, the fire with the gun, you know.
She's the one with the kid going, mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I'm bored. Mommy, I have to go to the bathroom.
Mommy, I'm kidnapped by this homeless man. What the hell's going on?
The whole point.
Mommy, I don't understand the Schrodinger
having her effect. Kids made no sense to the story either. I mean, the only thing that happened to her was the homeless guy that crawled in the back seat of the car with her, but it's still... all of that shit makes no sense still.
Yeah, and there was no need for any of that.
Yeah, it's just an extra character that we don't care about.
Padding to try and create tension since there is none.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, that the daughter is actually the daughter of the girl who played it. So maybe that was why, you know?
Yeah, like, you're if not I'm going to be in this me movie. Unless you get my daughter too.
Right. Exactly. So anyway, so that was Kylia, Esposito Jones. I'm wondering if she, I don't know, like, I guess, whatever, that she was in the movie as well. John H. Mayer played Dr. Stoker. That was the old Stoker. Doctor.
Stoke it to the left and I'll stoke it to the right.
Oh my Stoker. God.
Sorry.
And, so yeah, Dr. Stoker and Daniel Ash was Craig Dane, and those were the two doctors who were in the room with all the clipboards the whole time.
Right, on the walls, so you can know that they were scientists because there was like 15 of them nailed to the wall.
Yeah,
you guys pointed out when you were watching it that it looked like it was basically the same. They were on the basically the same side or whatever, right? And they just kind of switched it over, you know. Mm-hmm.
Because they have the exact same whiteboard with the same drawing. There's only one whiteboard in the room, but every time it cut to each one of them, it was behind them.
And the drawing looked like it was drawn by like a four-year-old. I mean, it was not very good at all.
And the clock drove me nuts, by the way, guys. I just kept watching it going, oh God. Like that kept me entertained to see if there's continuity issues.
And I love the older guy with the mustache had a cup of coffee, but the younger redheaded dork had that little, you know, one of those plastic kitty drinks that are all pink that you get for like 99 cents.
Yeah. Ridiculous. And let's see. So he was with the other chick who I guess... I don't know who these people are exactly. So I'm just going to guess this, that Marlene McCohen played Allison Jenkins. I'm wondering if that was the chick that was in the bikini.
Yeah.
No. It wasn't. Or was it the Allison. No. I believe that was the girl that was being attacked by the man and everything. So she was the one that went with, ended up with the, redhead guy at the end of the movie. So yeah, because he kept saying Allison or whatever. So I think
was the one who shot the electricity.
No, she was the other. The other one was the one who shot the electricity. She was the one in the car when she was shooting.
The one that you kept saying she woke up with all the makeup on.
Yes,
the makeup and hair
on. Okay.
And she is, if that's really her and everything, she actually, Marlene McCohen is known for actually doing independent, independent sci-fi films as well herself, like directing. Mm-hmm. She directed a movie called Interstellar, Interstellar Wars, which I do believe, she made that on it was a low budget. It's actually available on Tubi. and it looks bad, but you know, maybe more entertaining than this because it's a parody, you know.
Well, maybe if she directed in one of those low cut wife beaters that all the women seem to be wearing.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't a parody, maybe it was a real movie. Looked like a parody when I saw the preview of it, but maybe not.
Maybe not.
So anyway,
it does not
matter. Nope. Yeah. Thank you, Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Hi, doggy.
Hi, doggy.
All right.
I got a lot done during this movie. I trimmed my toenails.
Yeah, you did.
Far more exciting.
You got all this whole box of snacks.
You did. And on top of that, you were like, at one point, you're like, I'm going to go pee. You guys don't need to pause this. Like,
that was the most exciting moment when we all paused the movie at the same time and ran out to pee.
You know, we came back and we're like, tsunami. Damn it. We had to finish this movie. Damn it.
That's right.
Like 10 minutes left.
We had a pee-nami.
No. You know,
there is a God. We're all alive.
That's true. We did survive the tsunami or the disaster wars.
You know? Yeah, because there was no disaster or a war.
No, there was definitely no war.
It was.
I do want to know where they got that downtown LA footage.
It was the cardinal sin of movie making, which is you made a boring fucking movie, and that's exactly what they did. Boring, boring, boring pile of nothing.
They should add that to a sleeping app.
That would work.
You would like to go to sleep, put this on.
Mm-hmm.
It would work for me. Okay, so oh, yeah. I had watched this movie before because I actually own the DVD. Can't find it, but I own it. And
why did you buy it?
I bought it for Sean C. Phillips when I did not realize he was only in it for 5 minutes of the movie.
You told me less than five.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, it was less than five.
You corrected
me. He has like three lines, then he runs or kind of quickly waddles out to his car and he drops his keys and they go under the car and that's it.
Yeah. Supposedly, I guess the thing was going to kill him. And the worst part is...
What thing?
The tsunami or whatever. I don't know.
But for the next hour and a half, it sat there off the beach. It never hit. So nothing killed him then.
That's true. He probably still alive. So we
just don't happen to him. There was just nothing ever said about his character.
He died of boredom.
Oh, I thought that was us.
Either that or he's part of the quote-unquote 89% of the people who managed to evacuate.
I don't know.
Like, yeah, but the streets are still filled with people rioting and in standstill traffic.
Honking their horns.
Yeah.
Here's the big thing about like Sean C. Phillips' character is he mentions like, you know, he has to leave because like he has to go warn his girlfriend or something or his wife or whatever. But we don't know who that is. Like,
that's one would ever even believe he had a girlfriend or a wife. I'm just kidding.
I thought it was one of those insanely hot chicks. And I was like, wait a second. Come on. No. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but no. Doesn't happen.
I'm like, if this dude is married or has a girlfriend, there's hope for us all.
Right.
I'm kidding. So wrong.
So mean.
So wrong.
I'm sorry, Sean C. Phillips.
We know we love you. But at that time, he was, I mean, and lately, you know, he got a lot of weight loss, you know, and at that time he had a lot.
I mean, yeah. Like, I think he lost like over 100 pounds.
I think he was in like People magazine for how much he lost, you know, like
they were
shocked at what he was able to do. And
lost
everything.
A bunch myself. I've not quite 100, but pretty close.
Good. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since the last time you saw me. Yeah.
That's hard. That's hard to do. So, I mean, I'm proud of you guys. That's a real dedication right there.
She's saying that while she eats her snacks, right?
I don't have snacks.
It was the meds. It was all the meds.
Medication you were on?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer. I've had to lose weight myself here lately because I got on a soda binge. So it happens to all of us.
Yeah. I've definitely gained more weight. And, you know, the pandemic hasn't helped, you know, for a lot of people.
Hey, I cooked good for you.
When I wasn't eating, you know, ravioli or...
Or you know. When you weren't throwing uncooked spaghetti all over the place.
He didn't eat that. Nobody ate that.
You ate that.
That's true. No, I didn't eat that.
You didn't, he didn't. She didn't eat the uncooked spaghetti. She ate the SpaghettiOs.
Noodles. No, was SpaghettiOs. It? I was eating your SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs. That's right. Oh my God, you poor soul.
Yeah, because that's all Jonathan put in his part of the cabinet, the cupboard, which is SpaghettiOs.
SpaghettiOs, yep.
He only knows how to operate a microwave. If you ever see him trying to do anything with the stove,
I know. If we were still doing the early stuff back then with the movies, we'd be eating, you know, horrible takeout pizza and the cheap stuff. And I was like, we got to up our game, you know, we got to feed these people properly.
Yeah, yeah, it can get bad, and it makes everybody tired and sluggish too.
Right. Yeah, so like, we have upped our food game considerably, which is nice.
Yeah. Nice.
So it's not open a can of SpaghettiOs.
Guys, we're talking about food now and not the movie. That's how boring it was.
I know. It's such a boring movie. I'd rather Jonathan, talk about SpaghettiOs.
How come every single podcast I do with you, we end up not talking about what we're supposed to talk
because
about?
Because he keeps using his movies, which suck, and not my movies.
No. You're the one who picked Midget, the Midget Snobby Takeover. Also,
there was no midget.
So don't you didn't watch it. So,
that one only happened because you were going to do it. And then I said, hey, I had it on my list, but that's not one that I would have shown on my own.
Uh-oh.
All right. Whatever.
Uh-oh.
Whatever. We don't need to go into this.
Somebody out there thinks he's the king of stink and I have to correct the rest of the world, please.
Uh-oh. You are the stinkiest of stink.
You are, but like, here's the thing. Like, I mean, these are pretty bad movies. These aren't good, you know, the ones I pick. So,
this is true.
I can't believe you watch this one twice.
Just wait until you see Killer Biker Chick someday.
How many times did you watch that?
Two times. That's it so far. But who knows? I may watch it with you someday. So three.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think I'm done watching this one.
Does anybody at least die in that movie or ride bikes?
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
At least that happens. But, you know, the rest of the
movie. Both movies you guys have had me watch have nothing to do with the title.
Pretty much. Disaster Wars. Well, I mean, they tried. But like,
no, they didn't try. There was not a disaster anywhere, and there's no war.
Well, there was no, like, the disaster stood there waiting, like the birdemic birds, you know.
Well, it should have been called a disaster in waiting.
Yes, yes. Disaster in waiting, because literally,
no,
that's all
it should have been
doing.
Called a fucking boring waste of time is what it should have been called.
I would have bought a movie called A Disaster in Waiting because I'm like, how does a disaster wait?
And then we found out.
We saw it.
Movie.
We saw it.
Saw it happen. It's really what the movie should have been called.
Yes, everybody panicking about the tsunami. It's destroying everything. And then it just sits there and just waits and waits.
Everybody
and
should waits leave me to title their films.
Waits and waits and waits and waits until finally somebody causes an earthquake, which causes a bunch of sinkholes. And then the water goes into the sinkholes. And yeah.
Well, okay. So here's my question about the movie, basically, though. So in the beginning of the movie, we see the submarine people cause a tsunami. So is it the idea is like they're just going to cause it again the same exact way they caused it to begin with?
Basically, no, they tried to do it another way. That's where that whole satellite nonsense came from, with the beam of whatever that stupid stuff was that went into the water and caused something to happen and it didn't work. And
I loved your reaction to that. You were like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that was horseshit.
Because you were like, this is not the way that you fucking kill a tsunami, or that could even happen. You were like, Lenore would just be
kill a tsunami.
Yeah,
kill a tsunami.
Killing a tsunami.
That's a thing. You kill tsunamis.
No. That's what they're trying to figure out how to do, is get rid of the tsunami.
It's a killer tsunami. Tsunami.
Yeah, no.
No.
There's no causing a tsunami and there's no killing a tsunami.
I laugh like a clown.
There's killing our brain cells, though, from watching this movie.
Thank God
for the snacks. The snacks pulled me through.
I really didn't have that many snacks, but you know,
I had a whole box, but I only took like 3 bites.
You had a massive box. I had snack jealousy.
I know. He wanted to be there with you.
Yeah. Those are donations for the homeless people.
Wait, so you were eating the donations?
Well, because clearly the homeless people were attacking everybody out there.
They attacking were attacking all the pretty girls, in the movie.
Attacking the pretty girls. So we have to leave Jackie inside with the snacks, or else she'll get attacked.
Jackie.
I have so many. Like, I'm not even going to be able to hand them all out.
Okay.
Yeah, there's more reason we should come over to help you with those.
Anybody that wants to judge, I would like for you to show me proof of how many fucking homeless people you help out, and then I'll give you a half.
I'm joking on you, Jesus.
I know you are.
But Paul will be over there, helping you out.
Nom 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 nom.
Yes. Yeah. You'll get to the homeless people. Go. Oh, sorry, I don't have anything.
I always said I should have a T-shirt. I should have a T-shirt that says "We'll work for snacks."
We'll work for snacks.
That's all homeless people should have.
You want to be? Oh, that's fucked up, Jonathan.
All right, I gotta take that out.
Yeah.
Now we're going to get angry letters from the homeless advocates of the world. Thanks, Jonathan.
No, we can't do that. I'm like head ambassador of a nonprofit for homeless.
You're going to have to publicly disassociate yourself from this homeless hater over here.
Yeah, they should have used this, whatever money that they did use in this movie, for a better cause.
You were actually saying that before, because you were like, they have all these homeless people, but like they could have just used it to help the homeless people instead.
That's a point I always bring up whenever we watch one of those stupid slasher movies, especially the ones that you love, because it's always like hot chicks getting slaughtered, when in reality, when there are, you know, serial killers, who do they pick? They pick usually prostitutes and or homeless people, the most, you know, vulnerable people in society is generally who get killed. But you never see that in the movies, you know, because it's not glamorous enough.
Right. I mean, you want to see the hot girls get killed, you know.
Did you just say most serial killers do that?
Yeah.
Because I would have to argue with you on that one, because all I do is sit around and watch serial killer documentaries, and that's not always the case at all.
Not always the case, but they're the most vulnerable.
Aren't they the most vulnerable to begin with?
Yes, they are. That makes them easy targets.
You're an easy target.
that's just how Jackie just like continues the conversation. She's just like, you're a whatever.
You're a towel.
You're a towel.
Oh Lord! I think
don't forget to bring a towel.
I think this movie has like fried our brain.
I told you we were gonna have to sit here and talk about it for an hour. There's not even an hour's worth of content.
I mean, it was an hour and 25 minutes, and only five minutes of the actual, like, you know, tsunami and stuff footage, yeah, and everything. Everything else was just like
hour and a half ever.
I mean, I felt so bad for Joe Estevez, but I'm sure he got paid, you know, pretty well. Let's hope, because him and Priscilla Barnes were like the only big names in the movie. And
what's pretty well, 100 a day?
No, I'd say at least 1,000.
What? But you think so?
I don't know. Not for those guys, I don't think.
You don't think so?
Guys had that kind of money at all.
You don't think this budget had the, you know, was in that, like, was in the cards?
All the sets were like, you know, stock rooms and
the garages.
They didn't pay for. Yeah. Well, hey, the inside of the submarine.
Hey, the inside of a hotel.
However, you notice they were drinking a lot of free water. So that's where the budget went.
Oh, look at that about water.
They couldn't use real water for the ocean. They had to use CGI shit and stock footage.
They used a pink, you know, drink for that one guy. Maybe that was
why
his.
Why do you keep talking about the pink drink?
I don't know, because it was weird looking. Because Paul brought it up, and I was looking at it, going, "What the hell?"
No, I fixate on things in the background.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys fixate on like the weirdest shit. We're supposed to be talking about this movie and we're fixated on a drink that was on the table.
At least nobody had a weird belly button this time.
If you had like a real storyteller, you know, a real director would have utilized that drink to say something about the guy's character. And I'm just wondering, is he saying something about this character because he's got a little kid's pink drink there? I mean, you know, why doesn't he have a cup of coffee like the other guy does?
Maybe it was Gatorade and he wanted to stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated, bro.
Bruh.
I haven't seen pink Gatorade before.
Oh, they got it. Powerade. Gatorade.
There's pink aid somewhere.
It's not pink aid. Why are we still talking about this?
Because it's pink Nami, that's why.
It's pink Nami. You want us to go back to the homeless situation right there, Miss Ambassador?
No, Miss Ambassador. You're a dick.
Well, we could go back to the non-plot. I mean, we haven't really talked about it because there's really nothing to discuss. There's just nothing going on and nothing happened. Yeah.
I had to put my glasses on since both of you have your glasses on.
Well, you would have been like the only one out without it, which would have been like the movie where there's the two scientists in the background and then there's two people without glasses, you know? So I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, moving on. So what were you saying about the plot, Paul?
That there was none, basically. There was just nothing there. It was
There was no plot.
It's hard to like explain this story because we don't even get it. Like there was the military's called in to like, I mean, literally, I bet that's how they pitched this movie. You know, there's a tsunami and the military are called in to destroy it. Oh, okay. You know, yeah, with an earthquake.
Was a 45 second pitch. And that's what the movie is. It's a 45 second pitch. That's it. That's all it is.
And then they're like, what are you going to do with the rest of the time? We'll just create all these different things that happen.
Situations that make no sense.
Like there's going to be a woman that needs to get to her husband, who's the scientist. So she's on her way, but her car breaks down. And then she breaks down in front of a homeless gang member or something. And
quote unquote, breaks down only when the script demands it, because she uses it to get all over the place. Except when, you know, all of a sudden, wow, we need something to happen. So now it breaks down.
They didn't even make noises like the car was breaking down. She was just hitting the brake and acting like the car would not go. And you didn't understand what she was doing because she was just like hitting the steering wheel.
They couldn't afford noises.
Someone could have been like, car breaking down.
Hey, we have seen movies where somebody off camera like is making noises like that.
Ring, ring. Yeah. That's where she was getting the idea from, is from us talking about the bring bring. Oh my god.
I felt like I watched three different movies in one.
Yeah. I was saying before, like to you guys, was like this reminded me a lot of Independence Day, where there's like five different it doesn't have the budget, obviously, of Independence Day, but I'm saying like it's got like five different storylines that are connected somehow or whatever to this disaster that's happening.
Your mom is connected somehow.
No, all right. Reminded me of Mega Shark versus Colossus, except that even that stinky movie was a lot more fun than this one.
I fall. Don't worry about me.
Where are you going?
There was no Mega Shark and there was no Colossus. That's what this was. That's why I think sci-fi never picked this up, because there was no shark, there was no monster, there was really nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing. Absolutely nothing in this movie. It's just sort of a big ball of nothing, you know?
I came upstairs so I could yeet myself off of this loft after watching this movie.
What are you doing? Oh, good God.
Yeet. You know, yeet. Yeet, yeet.
I don't know what a yeet is.
You just, this is when you throw somebody off something, you go, yeet, yeet.
Oh, I was not aware of that. All right.
I've probably yeeted you a couple of times.
You probably did, but I don't remember.
Ow! Sweet mother Mary, 8-pound baby Jesus. Sorry.
See, this is more entertaining right now than watching the movie. Watching Jackie run around her freaking apartment is more entertaining.
All Nami.
Yeah, all Nami. Like, I would watch that, you know, for an hour and a half rather than watch.
Ooh. I used to be a pretty big disaster. That would have worked.
There you go.
More.
But did you have a war? Did you have a war? She's like, I'm thinking.
Me? No, I don't think so.
You don't think you caused any wars?
I think some other motherfuckers caused some wars around me, but not me.
But this movie had no war, really. Like, there was when you see like a versus movie, like, just to use an example, Mega Shark versus Colossus, Mega Shark and Colossus fought each other at times because they were two creatures that, you know, one was a shark and one was a giant robot, and they were fighting each other. That made more sense than this.
For like 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there, but still, at least it fulfilled the title.
Right. This did not fulfill any kind of title. It was
except for the last 45 seconds.
I don't even really consider that, because it's not like they fought each other. It's just like something happened, you know?
Earthquake one.
I guess.
That would be a weird movie, just watching like two different types of, what do you call them? Whatever, disasters.
Fight each other.
Weather disasters going at each other. That's just weird.
If you're like tornado versus earthquake, that would have been interesting.
Yeah. Well,
the earthquake would just shake the tornado away.
Or like hurricane versus avalanche.
I mean, at least it wasn't called Tsunado, you know, or something. A tsunami and a tornado.
But it was called Stormageddon.
You're right. You said that earlier, right? That it was called Stormageddon somewhere. Like, where was that at? Do you know? Like,
oh, I forget. I remember just seeing that on the Internet Movie Database page when I went to look at this turkey.
Turkey. Oh, Lord. Oh, my goodness. This is so funny that this is like, there's not much to fucking talk about with this movie. You got to like kind of like circle around and talk about the same
awful
shit.
Awful. There's nothing to talk about. It's just, it's a void. It's a non-movie.
It's a non-movie that we're trying to fill an hour on. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, if you were to look in the box to see if Schrodinger's movie is either there and not there at the same time, this is the not there version of the movie. So that means that there's an actual movie version of this someplace in the world.
Disaster Wars, Earthquake versus Tsunami, was a disaster movie in every sense of the word, literally. Yes. The storyline was fairly generic for a movie of this genre. Mankind sets off a massive natural disaster that proves deadly, and it's a race against time to find a way to stop this event before it lays destruction and waste to the world as we know it. Right.
Oh, no.
Nothing new there in the storyline department, aside from it being very boring and uninteresting. Sounds like they were watching it with us.
Nothing happens.
The effects in this movie were abysmal, and I wonder how a special effects team in 2013 could look at the effects that they made for this movie and seriously go, yeah, this looks good. The audience was will really buy into this.
What are you reading?
I'm reading the review on IMDb. It was once, without, no, there's like a few reviews, but this is.
Once again, Dave Waskovich, I apologize for anything I ever said about your special effects.
Yes, this makes Fungicide look, at least Fungicide was entertaining, you know.
Fungicide was so much more fun than this.
Fungicide?
A bunch of little mushrooms, a bunch of little evil mushrooms that come to kill everybody. It's wonderful.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Made by the guy, who did Suburban Sasquatch.
About the Sasquatch and the Suburban?
No, but we want that to be the sequel. You know.
Okay. Let me write.
There should have been a Suburban in this.
Those movies are a lot more fun than this. Trust me.
Was there at least a Sasquatch movie?
Was there what?
A Sasquatch.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And it had boobs, and it was purple.
Wait, what?
As you do. And it was a Native American spirit, so it could ninja around and like vanish and disappear whenever it wanted to.
What are these people smoking?
It was awesome. It was so much fun.
I'm really concerned about what they're putting in the drugs these days, because they're just not the same whenever I was a kid.
This is a movie that needed some drugs or needed something. It was just blah.
Yeah, like ninjas popping up in this movie would be more fun, you know?
There wasn't even not that I've bit about it at all, but in most of these movies they try to do at least selling points, you know, with nudity or a sex scene or something. Like nobody even, I don't even think even kissed in this movie.
Jackie's like, where's the sex, damn it, come on.
No.
Well, remember that one guy had a shirt boobs. You remember that one guy had his shirt off and you were like, put your shirt back on.
That wasn't me,
that's what I'm saying. Paul said that.
Paul over there.
Paul didn't want to see the guy
for you.
Okay, that's not considered nudity. A guy with no shirt on.
Well, that would be like the chick with the bikini, you know? Like it's,
yeah, there was a side boob.
Those chicks in the bikini, I hope I'm not offending anybody. Well, actually, I really don't care, but look to be strippers or professional dancers or whatever the correct terminology is for those things these days, but they probably just have money to show their boobs because they're probably like, we bring in home a couple like thousand every night for a tit. So they probably didn't have money to pay for that tit.
Had to give them a little tit for tat.
Exactly. Well,
and then there was the, hold on. I'm still confused about the part when they're on the boat and those two are, he's trying to start to get it on with that girl. And she's like, I'm buttoning your shirt up because you have an interview and the guy is here right now, but they're out in the middle of the ocean on a boat. I'm still not sure how the interview guy got there.
I like, he was probably waiting for them to get done fucking, you know, supposedly. We never see that, but you know, that'd be my guess.
He was never on the boat, and she said he just got here.
He got dropped off by a helicopter.
I don't know. Maybe
either that, or you know, a penguin swam up and dropped him off.
It was a mermaid, and then he took a ride back home on Free Willy.
Well, you notice he wasn't there when those two died. At the end when they just sat there and let the giant wave,
well, yeah, because
you know, sort
they
of
probably couldn't have, they just didn't remember to bring him back, just like Sean C. Phillips.
Such a big star, they couldn't afford to bring him back last mm-mm. 5 minutes.
Mm-mm-mm. All right. Ugh.
And
I'm sorry, David Palmieri, this movie was terrible. It was so boring. It was incredibly boring.
Awesome. Yeah, and you always say, Paul, that boring is the cardinal sin of filmmaking and everything, movie it making. Is. So
either make it so bad that you're like, what the crap is going on?
Entertaining, exactly. As long as it's entertaining, it can be bad. It can be preferably good, but just don't put me to sleep. Don't bore me to tears. That's what this movie did.
Right. And so sorry, everybody. If you guys haven't seen this movie, You don't have to. We just told you the story and mm-hmm. everything. You're good. You watch the trailer if you want to see a little bit of whatever, but that's it. You know, you don't need to watch this movie because we did it for you. We suffered for you, for your sake. You know,
I have to see the trailer to see how they even tried to sell this movie now.
I'm surprised that you even made it through this movie, much less that you want to go back and see the trailer for it.
I know. I'm surprised. We all survived the movie. You know, I think that's, I think we deserve like t-shirts that say I survived disaster. Because,
you
know,
before we started doing this with you, Jackie, I would always suggest movies and Moody would be like, oh, she doesn't have the patience to sit through that one. She won't put up with that one. And I'm like, man, if she can sit through this.
It's pretty accurate. Well, when Moody was my roommate, I was pretty, I'm a lot more chill now. I was like, couldn't sit down. I was too much like my mom. Like, I would be trying to watch a movie and then remember I have dishes in the sink or something in the kitchen, and I would be doing like 5 million things at once.
Yeah. She only did 4 million things tonight.
I trim my toenails.
You picked up the snacks. You picked up the snacks. You put the snacks back. You walked back and forth. You had to go pee.
That means you could probably go back and watch the whole version of Octoman then, instead of just that few scenes.
Yeah. Yes, the Octoman dance. There you go. We got that on video.
I know. You know that's my favorite thing. I love that.
Oh, Lord. She was so happy when I sent him that video or whatever, you know.
I need to make a gift for Paul.
Yes, you do. That would be awesome.
That would be a gift of a gift from Paul, you know. Yeah, of the gift. All right, anyway,
nice word usage, Moody. Hey,
Octoman was a dismal failure, but it was 100% more fun than this movie was.
Paul, do you like it that Jonathan's last name is Moody?
Of course.
Oh God, is that how we became friends? He was like, Mr. if Moo. Your name wasn't Moody, I would not have been friends with you.
I think maybe subconsciously that's why he did it.
All right. Anyway, I think we're at that time. We're at that time, actually.
If we're not at that time, let's just make it that time. God dang.
Yeah, I agree. We're done with this film.
This movie was a little rough. And so I don't think we have anything else we got to say about it. Now we're going to go do the...
Hard to score. This is gonna be really hard to score.
I know. I want, all right, we'll talk about this in a second. You explain to everybody what the scoreboard is.
Well, generally speaking, we scored on a 1 to 10 scale, by which the lower the number, the less the stink. So if it's a high number, then it's an awful, lousy, stinky score. However, we often give fun movies that we enjoy, even if they're terrible, tens. So I don't know what to say with this, because there was no fun in this movie. This was an anti-fun movie. This was the opposite of fun.
I'm gonna go with a one.
No, don't go with a one.
Why?
You know? Because that means it's a good movie.
No, it doesn't.
That does mean it's a good movie.
Well, then I can't rate this because it's not good.
It's more like a five is in the middle. It's bleh.
There's a bluff
number. Yeah, I guess that would be the case. I would have given it. I'm giving it a 10, man. It's terrible. It's a terrible movie. Like,
okay, I'm feeling better about this now. I've rated it 2 times already. Right. I'm gonna stick with 7.
You're gonna say a 10?
7.
7. Okay, 7. Okay, what would you say, Paul?
I'm gonna go with a 9.
A 9? Yeah. You just don't want to give it a 10?
I don't want to give it a 10, and plus it has Joe Estevez, so that's worth a point right there.
You might be right about that, but still giving it a 10, man. I hate this movie. like this movie is bad. Like, it is not good. It should
bad,
not
bad movie
to me.
No donut.
Yeah, this movie deserves no love. You know,
did not give the midget movie a 10.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm. At least that was
somewhat entertaining.
Right. And that's a bit of why we give the 10s too, is because if it's entertaining, at least, you know, or whatever. But yeah, this movie is worse because it's just boring.
It's,
you know?
Just, you know, I cannot in good conscience give the same score that I gave to Neil Breen's movies to this movie, because Neil Breen's movies, as bad as they are a billion times more fun and interesting than this.
Right. Maybe, but, you know, I don't know. I'm still giving it a 10. I can't give it a lower score. It's just so terrible.
It's a bad movie. It's a bad movie.
Yeah. I just
give it a 7.
A 7 is perfect for you, Jackie, because the 10, like, because you watch some movies and you're going to be like, this is why John Ward has a problem with this, by the way, the stinkometer, because it's really hard to judge some of these movies, you know?
Well, and that's why I try not to bring in a movie that's just boring, and that's its main sin. You know, it's just because we don't really. It's not the movie. In my opinion, our show is not really for that, because we're trying to get people into some of these movies. This is a movie that's going to drive people away.
Yeah,
it's just dull.
But my whole thing on why I created Indie Film Cafe is to showcase to the world movies that are out there, period. Like, whether it be good, bad, or ugly. And this is ugly in that case. You know?
They're very ugly.
Yeah.
And we are going to do more David Palmieri movies. Trust me. And I guarantee you, the ones that we're going to do in the future are going to be more interesting than this. They may not be any better than this one, but they're going to be more interesting and more fun.
Yeah. So, you know, it was nice to start out with, like, this is probably the worst that he's probably done, you know, in the sense of like boring and not entertaining at all. You know,
this is probably the worst that all of them have done.
Right. Joe Estevez too. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
He's been in some bad movies. He doesn't mean to be, you know. I think he just, you know, he enjoys working.
Hey,
you know?
He's a workaday actor. It's not for him to decide what's good and what's bad. He just shows up with his lunch pail and does his thing, and that's it. He's
a lunch pail.
Yeah.
That's dating you.
I know. But he's a workaday kind of actor, you know. I mean, that's what he does. He's not gonna be snooty about it and say, oh, I'm not gonna do your film. He's an actor. That's what he does. He shows up, he acts.
Exactly. Yeah,
then he's got to go to a normal day job, and who wants to do that?
Exactly. Nobody. You don't want to do that, Jackie.
I already have to do that.
I know, but you don't want to do that.
No, there's a lot of things I do that I don't want to, but it's all right.
We don't need to talk about adulting. It's kind of boring. Just like this movie. Yes.
No, I think adulting would be a far more interesting topic than this film.
Maybe. And probably adulting as a
adult. Can you wash your clothes in the dishwasher?
No.
My clothes? No.
Something I would see Jonathan doing. Ah, fuck it. It'll save time. Just put it in the dishwasher.
It says wash.
Oh, dear.
And it will dry itself. I don't even need to put it in the dryer.
Oh, my God.
That's right. You're saving the environment, man.
I'm saving time and the environment.
Saving the planet. And nobody cares.
Just like this movie.
Can we just wrap this up?
Wow. This might be the shortest episode then.
Really?
People are going to be
glad. Oh, no. Actium Maximus might have been, you know what? I'll take Actium Maximus over this movie.
Oh my God! I never thought I'd hear you say that. That's the one movie you cried about for years.
And I'd actually watch it. I'd actually watch it over this movie for sure.
Cried over a movie.
Oh God, yes.
Why?
I guess we're gonna have to show her Actium Maximus. It's just, she's gonna have to come out to Virginia.
We're gonna have to experience the evil pancakes covered with syrup.
What? Yeah. There's evil pancakes?
Well, they're not supposed to be evil. They're supposed to be dinosaurs, but they're not.
They're pancakes?
Yes.
Pancasaurus.
And there's a box. There's a little evil box that whirs around.
So does someone actually like bake pancakes and get like dinosaur cookie cutouts? And is that what we're working with here, or?
No, it's just terrible special effects.
Yeah, this is what it ended up looking like.
Yeah. He's just exaggerating what it looks like, but it does look pretty. It looked, and you could barely hear what they were saying, so I didn't understand. And it's Troma that put it out, so you can't understand. Like, there's no subtitles or anything, you know. So like, you're just like watching this movie and going, okay, when is this movie going to end? Come on. And when it did end, I did not want to talk about it. Just like you, Jackie, I did not want
to. Tormented by that film.
I know, but I'd torment myself again over watching this movie.
That movie and Barn of the Bloodline.
Yep, both those movies, I would
crazy.
I'd rather revisit those than come back to this or Killer Biker Chicks. You know, there's a new low. You know, in these, you know, in this world.
Okay, and you go.
Yep, and I watched both of those movies twice, but you know, only to have this in here.
Alien Prophecy is just as bad, if not worse, than these movies, but that was far more entertaining.
Yep.
Alien Prophecy was so terrible.
Yeah. I mean, it was terrible, but at least it was entertaining and there was ninjas and shit going on, you know. That was fun.
With action packed compared to this shit.
Exactly. I know there was something going on, and I could understand what everybody was saying, and it wasn't confusing.
That's not always a plus, but in this case, it was.
It was because in this case, in this movie, you couldn't understand what they were saying, but it sounded like it was important shit for the movie. You know, maybe
the movie was gaslighting us, making us think that it was
gaslighting, mother trucker.
Your country just came out like.
I did it on purpose.
All right, okay. Miss Jackie. Next time you come on the show, we're gonna watch one of my movies. Okay.
Okay.
You'll see something a little bit more fun. I promise you that.
A different pile of poo.
It's not gonna necessarily be better, but it's gonna be a little more fun, I think.
Yeah.
I'll be thinking about taking a nap.
I just need to know what your parameters are. If there's any triggers or anything that you cannot avoid, you cannot see, you know.
What do you mean?
You know, if you can't stand to see a jar of peanut butter or something, or if there's anything like that.
He's talking about stuff like, usually people get triggered from like rape or something, but like he's talking, trying to goof on you and say like peanut butter or whatever, you know, like whatever doesn't make you comfortable watching, you know. This movie would be all of it is, you know, like not comfortable watching.
No, I was comfortable watching it. There wasn't anything bad and it was just boring.
Well, that was where my comfortability left. It was boring.
That's where your comfort is.
Yeah. Like if it starts putting me to sleep, then we got a problem.
I mean, let's put it this way. Do you think Jackie could sit through Pink Flamingos and not, you know, run away and hide?
I think she could. I don't think she'd like it. You know, like I don't think she'd want to watch it again. You know,
every time I hear Pink Flamingo, I automatically
you think about me. Yes, I know.
And Moody going, ah!
No, another reason why. But
another reason why. Me picking it up while it's got peed on.
Yeah, he picked up a pink flamingo that had been peed on, like directly after it had been peed on. And yeah.
Ran around and said,
I thought you peed on it.
No.
Or you picked it up.
Oh, yes, I did. I did. You're absolutely right. I thought you peed on it.
And then that guy came and picked it up and goes, I got the pink flamingo.
And then I looked at him and I said, I peed on that. And he looked at me and he was like, I got the pink flamingo. And he ran back inside. And he dropped it on the floor. And my roommate was not happy. At the time, he was like,
you just don't tell people when you pee on things.
So basically you peed on her floor.
No. This is when I was living in Williamsburg. Like I was living in basically a garage. You know, I was living where they filmed this scene where they have all the maps and everything, you know?
Oh yeah. The three maps on the wall.
No, but I was living in a garage and you know, but I was living in a house and the guy, there's no bathroom. So I decided to go you know, the bathroom was occupied. So I went to pee outside and I peed on the pink flamingo. And right after I peed on it, some guy ran up and grabbed it and started screaming, "I got the pink flamingo." And I was like, "Dude, I peed on it." And he looked at me and he was like, he thought it was funny and ran back inside and dropped it in the living room. So
if the worst thing that happened at my old apartment complex was that you peed on my floor, I would have not been mad at all.
Wait, what else? Oh, I don't know what else I did. You know,
not like you. I'm just saying in general.
In general, yeah. That was not that. I didn't even. I don't think I peed on your floor at all. So
you might have. That's why I refused to watch my security camera at all whenever I was gone, because I never wanted to know what you were doing in my house.
That's true. And I will say without a. You know, I'm pretty sure I didn't pee on your floor. Maybe I don't know what I do when I'm sleeping.
You probably peed on my couch and blamed it on the dog.
He pees on everything.
I know. That's how I mark my territory. Anyway, we are done with this episode.
getting a little weird, note, are we?
On that note, you know, I think our conversation is a little bit more interesting. So everybody, if you're watching this movie, just... stop, what, like, mute the movie and then put on our commentary right here and be more, you know, entertained.
Find a pink flamingo and go pee on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's pee on flamingos.
Yay. Yep.
Hey,
that sounds more fun. Anyway, we're done. So thank you guys for checking this out. Was it Paul gave it a 9, Jackie gave it a 7, and I gave it a 10. So that's fun. Thank you guys for checking this out and enjoying this episode. Hope you guys had a good time, because we didn't have a good time watching it, but it's okay. We had fun.
Gray hair.
Yeah. But, you know, it happens, you know, occasionally. But thank you guys for checking this out, and join us next week on another episode of Indie Film Cafe. Bye.
Adios, amigos.